다 무엇으로 되는가? 그래서는 Moshe Rabbeinu left his wife because he's a prophet. She doesn't get it. She's a prophet. Aaron's a prophet. Jews don't have monks. No monks and no monasteries. We don't look up to celibacy. It's not a value. Where's he coming from? Then Hashem appears. Hashem appears and says, how dare you speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? Do you know who he is? I speak to him the way friends speak to each other. And the next thing she knows, she's a leper. So there's a mitzvah to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. What is that mitzvah? The mitzvah of refraining from speaking with Lashon Hara. And remember, it's punishable by leprosy. And Chazal pointed out that Miriam was not trying to run down Moshe Rabbeinu. She had a kasha. Not only that, her concern was for him. So it says, even so, it didn't help. The fact is, it was Lashon Hara. So what does that mean? It means that you're never allowed to disagree, you're never allowed to question. The concept of not speaking Lashon Hara is to pretend that everything is wonderful. Live up in the clouds. Being a Jew means to question and to argue and to disagree and demand explanations. It means to be critical. How could the pasuk mean the opposite? How could you get punished for this? So the Yonah and Shari Tshuva throws in a line. He says, then in Lashon Hara you're responsible for what he calls pshia, which we translate as being negligent. In other words, listen to this. Had she been right, it wouldn't have been Lashon Hara. Had she been right, it would have been fine. The problem is that she miscalculated. It was a teretz to her kasha. It wasn't such a good kasha after all. Miriam and Aaron were not Nevi'im the way Moshe Rabbeinu was in love. And his kind of nevuah did not allow for being in a marriage. It was a chiddush, something new. We still don't know what this fit under. It's just it's a pasuk in the Chumash, so we know better. So for miscalculating, she's turned into a leper. Negligence. Before you open your mouth in a critical way, you really have to think things through. And you gotta work them out. You got a kasha? So if it's a kasha, ask it. But if it's a kasha on somebody, if the question is why does a person behave the way he does, before you go and turn that kasha into a claim against him, you better do your homework. Before you go share that kasha with others, you better do your homework. Yes, the Jew has to answer. But if asking means I don't know, you're all right. If asking means I therefore question the validity of your behavior, then you better be right. I'd like to discuss this idea on different levels. This week's Parsha Shlach. Because I'll say it follows Harishon Ha'elu, the Rishon, the ten Meraglim who came back with the bad word. They saw what happened to Miriam and they didn't take Musa. What did they come back and say? They say Eretz Yisrael was Eretz Ocheles Yisrael, a land that eats up its inhabitants. And Chazal tell us they were right. Hashem made a miracle. In order that they not be noticed, Hashem made it that they were all busy burying. People were dying all over the place. So you come to a country as a spy, and wherever you go, there are funerals. So what's the conclusion of what is expected to come to? There must be some epidemic. There must be something wrong here. Before I move, I've got to find out a little more. This may be a dangerous place. No, these Rishonim should have known better. But they had a good kasha. And as the Ramban points out, they did not lie in their account of what they saw. All the facts were accurate. It was only the way they presented them. It was the way they lined them up. So they had a good kasha. They come to the land and everyone's dying. And that's a kasha. In light of what we saw in Miriam, the answer is they should have known. You hear this? They should have figured out. No, this is a great place for you. You know why everyone's dying? It's a miracle. They should have figured this out. It's a miracle. It's a decoy. It's a way of distracting everyone so that we're not going to be caught. What's up, Chad? So in the case of Miriam, it says, how were you not afraid to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu? The kasha has to be understood in context. Yes, it was a theological problem. Aaron and Miriam, well, they were fine, Tommy the Chacham. And from everything they knew, there was no place in Judaism for celibacy. So they had a kasha. But who was the kasha of? B'chol beisi ne'eman hu, the pasuk says. He can be trusted with every bit of Hashem's knowledge, every bit of Hashem's wisdom. He is the one that Hashem chose to teach Klal Yisrael. That means that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, we know is the word of Hashem. He is trustworthy. He is the one human being that Hashem openly declared, I trust his understanding of my will. I trust his understanding of truth. Doesn't that already say something? Yeah, you got a kasha. Your kasha is not, how can Moshe Rabbeinu do something against what I know Judaism believes in? The kasha is, what don't I know about Judaism? What is it that he knows that he hasn't told us? If you understand what you're talking about. In the case of the Meraglim, Hashem said, this is the land. Ever since the days of Avraham Avinu, his descendants have been walking around talking about the dream of the Eretz Zavas Chol HaBavosh, the land that Hashem made for us. Could you possibly think, hey, this is a dangerous place? Seems like people always die here. But it's so far-fetched. You see people die, I'm supposed to say, oh, no, no, no. What's really happening is, it's a miracle. It's not far-fetched. To say that Hashem is giving Klal Yisrael a dangerous place, that's far-fetched. The Pshia that Rav Elyon is referring to is taking the whole context into consideration. All kinds of apikorsim write critical articles about the Bible, about the rabbis, about rabbinical Judaism, as they call it. Rabbinic Judaism. They have kashas. We also have kashas. Oh, do we have kashas? We have kashas on everything. What do we do all day? We look for problems. We find something wrong with every Gemara, every Rashi on every Gemara. If a Gemara finally makes sense, so we have a kasha because it contradicts another Gemara. What do we do for a living? We look for kashas. What's the difference between us and the apikorsim? They also look for kashas. The first difference is that we have good kashas. But what's the difference? The difference is that when we got a kasha, what we're asking is, what am I missing? We're asking, what am I missing? When they got a kasha, they're trying to discount the sources. Their kasha is the kasha of Miriam. Their kasha is the kasha of the Meraglim. And for that Hashem says, do you know who you're talking about? the four basic men. Do you know who you're talking about? Hashem says you can trust him. Could there be an inconsistency in his life? Hashem says he can be trusted. He is the one that understands and transmits the Rotzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, in the most accurate form. The words that come out of his mouth are called Torah. They're not even called the Nevi'im, and certainly not rabbinic. The words that come out of the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu are Torah. Abarbanel writes that Sefer Dvorim, if you read it, was a narrative by Moshe Rabbeinu. And unlike the previous Dvorim, it doesn't say by Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. It's all Moshe Rabbeinu talking. So he says, Hashem dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu the first four Sforim. Moshe Rabbeinu did the talking in almost all of Sefer Dvorim. And then Hashem told him to write it down verbatim. Could you imagine? A human being created Torah. Hashem told him, write it down. Hashem told him, write it down, and he had to write a complete Sefer Torah and give it to each of the Shvatim at the end of his life. The whole basic man. His understanding of the Ratzon Hashem was such. At that point in his life, every word that came out of his mouth, although he initiated it, he was not saying over a Kol Amar Hashem. It was Torah. It was the Ratzon Hashem with accuracy. You can have a Kasha Moshe Rabbeinu. The joke of the Maragim, you can have a Kasha on Hashem. So we're not because in the world you don't doubt the words of Chazal. No problem. But we do elsewhere. We do deep down in our subconscious. We have lots of Kashas. We have kashas sometimes about our childhood. We have kashas about all the things that are not fair. We have kashas about Tzadik Baralo, Rosh of the Togo. At times we feel we deserve better. And if we don't, the other guy certainly doesn't deserve what he got. We have kashas. They're kashas. What kind of kashas are these? Are these the kashas of the Maragim? Are these the kashas of the Abukosim? Or are you asking a kasha on Rashi? Is there something you're trying to understand? No one understands the Holocaust. That's a kasha for everybody. If the kasha doesn't bother you, then you just don't know what the Holocaust was. The odds are, had we been alive soon after some other periods of Jewish history, the same would be true. Certainly after the Holocaust. the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Churban Beit Ha, the numbers that Chazal are using, unless it was a total exaggeration, is another holocaust. So we are cautious. And some people are bitter. Some people are angry. So how do we go on with these cautious? What do you do when someone asks you? What do you tell them? You tell them, well, yeah, I guess we see it. I guess that's what happens. Yeah? Okay, you did terrible things. Would you do what Hashem did? Yeah, there are answers. And Svarim go into answers. Once again, if you appreciate what happened, you're left with cautious. Or kind of cautious. When you read the Tohacha, when you read Hazinu, when you read what's going to happen and it didn't, you also had a kasha. But it was a kasha because you were reading a Pasuk Kodesh. And now that it happened, now it's a different kind of kasha. Now it's what we call a taima. You got a claim against Hashem. You got a kasha on Rashi, you're angry at him. The story of the Meraglim is not just a story of simple Lashon Hara, although the Rambam says it's included in the Yisra of Lashon Hara. Not something new, it's actual Lashon Hara according to the Rambam. Although what they were speaking about was Eretz Yisrael. It's inanimate on a certain level. But what the Meraglim were really saying was that Hashem is promising us a bad place. Hashem is promising us a place that we cannot survive in. They're cautious. Their conclusion was off. It was ridiculous. The cautious are kasha. Don't turn it into a time. We've got to learn to deal with the kashas we've got on life the same way we deal with kashas and learning. Knowing there's an answer. The confidence that my kasha is only an expression of my missing something. And knowing that one day you'll be the longden who's going to have the answer. There's the confidence. What's going to change is not that someone's going to surrender. We're not waiting for Rashi to stand up and say, you know, I made a mistake. We're looking forward to the day that we really understand what he meant. When we've got a kasha, it's a request for really understanding. So we've got to work for our insides and make sure that our kashas on life are cautious, not timeless. They're not claims. They're not expressions of frustration. They're not expressions of anger. Life is not easy. Hashem never claimed it was easy. But life is beautiful. And if because it's not easy you don't think it's beautiful, you took a kasha and drew a conclusion. And that conclusion is off. And that's a pshia. That means you haven't done your homework. And therefore it's lashon hara. Therefore it's severe. Therefore, one can be turned into a leper one way or another. We have to be careful. And we have to be wise. And we have to know how to process the information we're absorbing by way of what we're experiencing, by way of what we're observing. We have to know how to process it. And we have to know that when we have kashas, we can be ramdanim and fine-tuned too. When we have kashas, they are not timeless. We have the confidence that Rashi knows how to learn, the confidence that Rashi is accurate, the confidence that Moshe Rabbeinu is perfect in his transmission and understanding, and above all, the confidence that Hashem is only good, and anything that would suggest otherwise is only a misreading. It's a kasha because we don't know pshat, and one day we'll rejoice with the teretz, not just because we got the answer, but because in arriving at the answer, we will have grown and become big ramdanim. We'll understand the depths of life. It's not that we were missing information. We were missing insight. We were missing the real meaning and the real shot. And Hashem give us fewer opportunities for kashas. It's still better when things go smooth. But when we got them, we have a confidence that someday we're going to know.